This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna. And this is Gayotic.
Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals
who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade, and we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh yes. I'm wearing mosquito bands.
Nobody noticed.
No, dude. Yes, they did. I have been roasted for this exact thing in this motherfucking room.
I wish you put the black one on. Like, why are you insisting?
Because I don't have no fucking black one.
I like the additive element of whatever's in your mouth.
Yeah. Took a mint from the bathroom.
Cool. Oh, nice.
It was delightful. Where do you get a black one?
You can order them in the same way that you order the
my mom
ones.
Gave me a my mom
oh, so you're
gave
them
me
from
all
your
these.
Mom. Okay.
No, she gave me all these from the houseboat.
Yeah, but you're getting them from your mom.
Yeah, I took them because my mom gave them to me.
Yeah.
As she probably was giving you a bunch
well,
of shit,
too. Well,
that's
why, yeah, because I took the black ones when I was on the houseboat.
Yeah, but so you the took them from my mom.
Order them online. Order them on Amazon.
Because I have these. What, you want me to waste?
Anyway.
Are you Jewish? Me too.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. Okay. So today we're back in the HeadGum studio. We're back at
Feels
Gayotic
like we aren't
headquarters.
Started, but we are.
We are, that is always what it feels like. We're really excited to be here today, and we're talking to Avery Tucker, who is somebody who we've been admiring for a long time.
Staring straight in
yeah,
my
I
eyes.
Know. I, it's because
really
when I'm
serious.
Thinking,
why
like,
you look? You only look
I know,
at me.
But I don't know why,
it's,
but
it's
like
grounding.
It when, it's grounding. Yeah,
yeah.
When I'm trying to come
really?
Up with
me away.
Yeah, you're just my.
Well,
home.
It's like when you're meditating, you're like focused on one place. It's yeah. actually it's a.
It's
that's
you.
Nice.
Joe, you're, yeah. you're the place I go.
Focal
no,
point.
She, no, she's so.
You're the place.
She is fucking lying. She looks at me and she goes like this.
No, I'm just
she does this
I'm
all
thinking
the time.
About how I can say I don't want to put us on blast too much, but we're obsessed with your vibe. And
really?
Yeah,
yeah.
we've been
really
excited
nice.
To talk to you.
Actually, we all invited you here to say we're at a house sex.
Also,
wow, cool, amazing. Yeah.
But we've known of you for a long time because Avery was in a band called Girlpool, and I as I was telling you before we pressed record.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you guys can tell me if this is accurate.
No,
the
I know that it
Muna
is.
The first Muna show. We were on a bill with Girlpool. Avery's going to mm-hmm. open for us at the Greek on, which one are you doing?
The 11th.
The 11th, October. Baby.
Actually, the first time that I had ever gone to the Greek was the night that I met you guys. Oh. And when I was at that show, I was like, this is such a crazy venue. Like, this is so cool. But then when I went to see Neil Young, we got there really early because my dad and I were like, you know, going to get situated to get
yeah.
a sandwich, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And they were cooking like the food or whatever. And
hell yeah.
The vision, I was like looking at the stage, we had like kind of far back seats. And there was like smoke coming out of the, I don't know, for some reason to the right side and the left side, there was like smoke. And the sun was just coming down. And it looked like I was like in the smallest, like cutest mountain town. And I was like, this is the coolest place ever to see music, to perform
yeah.
music.
Dude,
it's
yeah,
so, it felt like so heart-centered
yeah,
in this
definitely.
Way that I've never feel at venues.
Yeah, and definitely.
I was like, this is so cool.
It's yeah. It's an abstract experience that you're having, like at a concert, but you get to look out and see like the
but
city that you're in
also,
and like
it's a
the
part of,
topography
like, the
of yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. You just feel like you're camping. Like I was like, it feels like you feel united.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so then I left and I was like, wow, dream venue, dad. Like one day I'm going to, I
got to
play this place.
Go.
And then like 2 months later,
that's
yeah,
so cool.
It was really
yay.
Awesome timing.
I love this kind of kismet stuff.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
really
super
great.
Excited.
Do you believe, it seems like you're probably on that type of vibe where you put something out into the yoon.
Oh, yeah.
In the yoon?
In the yoon.
I forget
for a second,
that you said
yeah, wait, I need to say something.
What?
I want you to say what you're going to say. I thought you were going to say, do you believe in life after love? But so
I've been wanting to. I want that's a song that you just want to sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
I want to do that song.
Do you think it's maybe just like you should
that
sing it
fun
at karaoke?
To share impression? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because it's
not
yeah.
that I've done karaoke
ever.
At all.
Well, you know my thoughts on like professional singers doing karaoke. Like you should really only do it if you're doing an impression.
Yeah, if you're gonna do an impression, that's gonna floor people. That's really cool.
No, I forget what I was going to say. Funny songs. I guess I was just going to say our friend Lou refers to like her higher power just as the Yoon. That I really like it.
Something is really so cool. Fucking funny about that.
I like it. It kind of sounds like Yoni. Yoni.
That's I have Whoa. That on my.
Because it sounds like
you
it.
Have Yoni
on my chest.
Yeah. Wow. Yoni.
But that's actually because my Hebrew name.
Well,
is Yona.
Whoa.
And so when I transitioned, it's Y O N A.
Oh yeah. My God.
And so then, I always liked it, but I like felt a little bit of dissonance with it, whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And then when I transitioned, I was like, fuck, like I want to change my Hebrew name.
Yeah.
So my ex at the time, or who I was dating, was like, whatever, they started like calling me Yoni, and I had no idea it was a word for vagina. Like, yeah, I literally had no clue, right? So they're like, I'm like, this is so sick. Like, I have a new name. Like, this is before I changed my name to Avery, too. So
yeah.
Yoni was like my Instagram handle. It was Yoni
310.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Anyway, I'm like, roll
this was your crazy, this yeah. was your trans mask name.
Yeah, my Yoni. Trans mask name was like, well, kind of. It was kind of like, it was my Instagram handle, and it was like, some of my friends would call me Yoni, and they had like, I think they had like a cool guy friend named Yoni. I just was like, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
So I got it tattooed. Yeah. So I got it tattooed on me, and I was like, whatever. And then I
changed. This was when you still didn't know.
Still didn't know. Amazing. Suddenly, I'm like, you know, I don't know, you know, posting photos of my shirt off sometimes, whatever. Like, I'm just like vibing with my shirt off. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And people start like noticing that tattoo more. Cause like I'm shirtless more often. I was shirtless more often. And they're like, oh my God, like, ha ha all the time. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't get
like,
it.
Like, why ha?
And they and I Googled it, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, my, literally.
Love that so much.
So it really like I really contracted to that a lot, like, and was like, this is annoying and sucked. And of course, like, this sucks. Like, I'm just trapped, like, whatever. Yeah, I like internalize it a lot. But now I'm like, it's so cool because it's also
now
like
you're post Yoni.
And Yoni's still there.
Yeah, totally.
Yoni's within.
Yeah, Yoni is within.
And
absolutely.
Yoni's within. And
title it's, of
and it's also like such a it's a portal.
Yeah.
Really. It's a portal, like it's a powerful. I mean, we are just getting into it now.
Yeah absolutely.
But,
go
but
there.
Yeah, yeah, it's go. Like it's I think for a long time I was like trying to navigate my relationship to that part of my body, which I think is it's really normalized to just kind of pretend it's not there.
When
you're like having that experience. Yeah, yeah. That kind of experience. And I kind of related to that a little bit, but I also didn't because I was like, it's chill. Like, it's just my body. Like,
it's my bod.
It's part of me. But it's cool that I kind of accidentally have this Yoni tattoo because it's also that word, part of its definition, I believe, like, to really, the power of it is embodied in that word.
Yeah,
like
it's Sanskrit, a powerful right? word. Or it's something, it's like.
I don't know. We should look.
Yeah.
I wanted to say.
All I know is that the house across from the pink house, like once again, the house that we stayed in college, the radio house across the street was called the Yoni House, and that's the first time that I had heard.
Why the fuck it's was also cool. That? It's also cool that you had that you were born and then
you
had
the Yoni
second Yoni.
Oh,
it's kind of
it's
cool.
True. Yeah.
Oh yeah, like
portals,
rebirth.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's cool.
Second Yoni is really funny as well.
Yeah, this is the kind of psychedelic.
But this is the type of playing with language that I think we need so much more of because there needs to be a separation of like, well, yeah. I mean, kind of like, I do crave more explicit conversation about like, body parts and certain genitalia, like. Having nothing to do with what gender somebody is.
Yeah.
And that like somebody can have like there can be a masculine Yoni. The Yoni thin. What's the other
Yoni?
What's the word for oh my God. wait. Okay, wait. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Is there what's like the correlation for
what do you mean?
Penis.
What do you
if Yoni is vagina?
I don't know.
This could be an episode where Yoni, we're on Google.
Is pee-pee. To vagina
as this as is the type of blank. Katie ass fucking Google. As,
yeah,
Katie,
you guys, have we talked about this on Gay Audio?
I'm tempted to pull up.
Well,
that
we only
Googles.
Talked about it in the context of them roasting me for my birthday about all my Disneyland Googles when I used to be on the
it
Google.
Sounds
which I'm
great.
No longer.
Thing in the world.
Yeah, it's Sanskrit.
Okay. So then what's the penis?
It's saying it's just phallic.
The yoni is?
No, like the opposite of yoni.
Oh, they just say phallus?
Phallus. Trash. Well, I want to say, okay.
Well, that's interesting.
We were saying like it's kind of funny that we haven't crossed paths like more than we have. Because I do feel like there's a ton of stuff that we have in common. We've been in LA for a really long time now. But also like you have this you also have this really long-term like creative collaboration and friendship with Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to hear about like you guys, how you guys got started together when you were younger and like pretty much as much of it as you want to talk about.
Harmony and I met at The Smell when we were like,
oh, so that's cool. So cute.
Like 16. Iconic. She was working door. We were going to a Moses Campbell show. I don't know if you guys know that band, but they were like our favorite band.
Cute. What kind of music did you listen to at that time?
I mean, if you're going to The Smell.
Yeah. Well, we were, I mean, stinky. I guess I was like obsessed with like Elliott Smith and like Built to Spill and like, you know, shit like that. And then like, my first band that I like fell in love with musically and like changed, like made me obsessed with music was Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I was obsessed with Bright Eyes and then got, and then was just a music nerd in high school, whatever.
Were you playing guitar?
Yeah. Playing guitar in like jazz band.
Cool.
Oh, with, cool. Like, all you were playing the chords.
Dope. I was playing the chug, 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 mm-hmm. chug, chug.
Yeah.
Like kind of nothing. And then like occasionally a solo, but, yeah, so I was doing guitar, and I thought I was going to be – I wanted to be a session guitar player.
Cool.
I was not writing songs of my own. I was playing in a band with a guy at school who I was, like, best friends with,
mm-hmm.
And he was writing songs. And then I was really into – I got really into folk punk. And I was really into, like, Paul Baraboo and, like, Nana Grizzle and, like, Ramshackle Glory.
I do not know this genre at all.
It's like men with like tambourines on their ankles, like, you know, playing, or sometimes women too, but like, it's just like,
hey, a woman could have a tambourine on her ankle.
That's what I was into. It was just like, you know,
like
just passionate, emotional, kind of like punk folk. Folk punk. And we were kind of all into that in high school. And so, and it was like shit that was just on Bandcamp and whatever.
Yeah.
And then,
Bandcamp.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then, I started writing a little bit in high school, but really wasn't comfortable with my own voice at all and didn't see myself as like a songwriter and was playing in that band. And then anyway, so I was going to The Smell and playing in that band and met Harmony, and she was in a band with a guy too. And we started playing on the same bills and like would play at house shows together. And she was in a band called Huxley Ann, and I was in a band called Bobby T and the Slackers.
Hell yeah.
And we were playing on the same bills. We developed this friendship. She loved Bright Eyes. We were always talking about Bright Eyes and stuff and Elliott Smith. And we were like, fuck, like we should start a band. And so we were like, yeah, you know, we were both in bands at the time that our songs weren't really like the main focus of the band.
Okay.
And it kind of felt like we didn't have the space to do it. Also, we were like two young girls in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this phone call so well. We were on the phone. We started a band called Dearest first. Okay. And it was me,
this is what we wanted to call our band.
No way.
Briefly. In
Are you
college.
Serious?
That was one of the first
this?
Names that was
no
that we
way.
Pitched. Truly.
And then did we say we couldn't because
then we were like, oh, it's definitely already a band. And it probably was fucking your it was probably y'all's fucking
band. I mean,
band.
But we were like barely a band. I mean, we played a couple shows, but it was us and a few friends. And they were all really sweet, but none of them really like me and Harmony were taking it like really fucking seriously.
Yeah.
And so
that's
then,
always the thing.
Yeah, so then we were like, okay, what if we just like fuck like finding new members and stuff? Like, what if we just did it with like a guitar and a bass and sang?
Yeah, totally.
And just did that. And we were like, well, that sounds really weird, but let's try it. So we tried that, and Harmony didn't really play the bass much, but just would make shit up. And then I would play guitar. And then she just really was like, helped me. Right. I mean, Harmony really was like into poetry, and she was really open and would write songs all the time. And I had some songs under my belt, but I second guessed my writing a lot.
Okay.
And I was kind of unsure about like, you know, like structure, and I just was kind of like confused.
Did you still have that relationship with your voice where like you didn't really?
I was down.
Yeah.
I more so, I had a lot of fear around like sounding stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, I relate. Yeah.
That was a big block for me.
Totally. I'm more harmony. I don't really know why it's like that.
Some people I think just come into this world. I think also too, just, you know, her parents.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my parents are super open and amazing, mm-hmm. and my mom's an artist and whatever.
Cool.
But I don't know. I just, it didn't come with me, mm-hmm. or something. It was a block that I had to confront. So she would often, our first rehearsals or first band practice, it would be like, she was like, keep going, you know, keep going. What are you trying to say? And so we'd break things down together. So she really ended up being like, she like guided me.
And you guys really wrote together on a granular level.
We wrote
like that.
Every song together. So
that's so cool.
Every line. So every line, you know, I'd say, well, I'm trying to say this. And then she'd say, okay, what about this? And I'd say, what if it was this? And that was my first really vulnerable songwriting relationship.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I think 17. And so we started then just playing every show in LA, a DIY show, Pear Space, The Smell. We'd drive out to Pomona. We'd play shows at USC.
Yeah.
We were just saying yes to everything. And then this guy loved our music, signed us, and I wasn't 18 yet. I was still 17.
Okay.
And so we get this deal, and I hadn't graduated high school. Harmony was a year older than me. And I asked my parents if I could take a year off and not go to college and just try going on tour and whatever.
Yeah.
So they said, yeah, go for it. Take a year, you know? So I did that, and it took off, and then we were going to Europe. It was just crazy. It was like this, you know, we were young and we're like, how the hell is this happening?
Yeah.
It felt like you know, when infants have like malleable heads.
Yeah.
Like when I think back to myself then, I'm like squishy head. Like just so trying to figure out who the fuck I was. Yeah.
Wait, did you have any inklings at this time? It's kind of like, I'm curious to know like this kind of two track thing of there's your career and then like, internally, were you having thoughts yet of like me gay?
Oh yeah. I mean, so sexuality was another thing where I was like in high school. So I always kind of dressed like I was like 8, and I wore like, you know, basketball shorts and a big shirt and hair and some fucked up whatever. And so that was always kind of my vibe as a kid. And then
people were like, she's such a tomboy.
Yeah. I was just like this like weirdo. It's funny because girl pool, like I kind of assimilated to like, you know, teenage girl world for about like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that time I started girl pool and my band blew up in a big way in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the and squishy suddenly, brain time.
Yes, yeah, suddenly it was like I was in this like girl rock band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like, totally.
Everyone's referring to it as a girl band.
Yeah, and I was shocked. I mean, I remember even you mentioned FemFest. Mm-hmm. It was difficult between Harmony and I. Also, Harmony and I were still getting to know each other when Girlpool took off.
Wow. Yeah.
We didn't know each other that well. We had just started literally within being a band for like not long at all. We got
signed. I had kind of assumed you guys were like childhood friends.
Yeah, no.
I didn't know you had just met.
We like fell in love through, you know, being on the road alone.
Yeah,
the
totally.
Two of us in a car driving through Idaho and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was weird because I had a lot of like tension with like female like stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And she was like, Why do you not want to like do this She Shreds interview? Or why do you not want to play FemFest? Or why do you not? And I didn't know why. And I kind of just was like, and I also, I don't know. I thought, oh, I guess I'm just like judgmental and like uptight. And Harmony's just like open and free and whatever. And I mean, Harmony and I are like also just so different. And somehow there's this, we have a few common denominators that are like, just magical with each other, but we are cut from such different cloth, and it's hilarious. And we always joke about it, but it's, you know, it's like the friends she attracted, the friends I attracted, like our communities. It was like kind of funny where it was like we have such different preferences in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But then when we came together with music, we complimented each other in this way that felt like super graceful.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's something that's almost necessary for like a great project. And yes, I'm calling our project great because I do feel like we, like there's an element of you're filling in the space where the other person, that the other person can't fill in.
Yeah.
It's like we all have like just parts of our personality and even parts of our aesthetic
that are gaping holes.
That are gaping holes.
Yeah, everything's
for the others.
A gaping hole.
Yeah. But we've been through that a lot with like conversations about like people in the press referring to us as a girl band early on.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where you kind of just, I kind of relate to a certain extent of being like, okay, do I have so much internalized misogyny that like, you know, like grappling with that of being like, any resistance to that for me always felt like, oh, I'm just probably like dealing with.
But I feel like that's like self. But I feel like that's like self gaslighting.
I mean, yeah,
because the truth is, you're not a girl.
Like, we also like grew up in the most like heteronormative gender. Like, gender was the gender.
There was also this interesting thing of like we, at the beginning, I kind of feel like we felt as though it was either take the opportunities that are pigeonholing you or don't get any opportunities.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Straight up.
I mean, either you're going to do the interview with like the women in music thing, or you're not going to have an interview, or you're like going to do an interview where you're like talking about being queer.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, we just don't really have the luxury necessarily to make the choice.
Yeah.
And you then, don't. It's either like you control the narrative or you let it get away from you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to, even us like being out as queer, I feel like you were obviously like we've spoken a few times about like how we had like reticence to that. But I think you were smart because in the sense it was like, okay, then you can, because it's gonna fucking come out. Like,
but I don't
look
think
at
that
us.
Was,
you know
I feel
what
like
I mean?
You wanted to do it because you wanted to be like,
because it was important.
Yeah.
But then you
so
also
you.
Control the narrative.
Yeah,
which
but
is
I don't
like,
know if that was like the.
No, I just
attention.
Felt like it was time.
You were so like that.
Yeah, it was
most
little,
things.
But then you're able to. But then you're also able to be like, it's important because of A, B, and C. The reasons that I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah,
controlling
yeah.
your own narrative.
That's
yeah,
what
you
saying.
Just don't know that at the time. You know.
So
what
do
I mean?
You feel like in Girlpool there was a little bit of like drag for you, like performing?
Yeah.
An idea of girlhood or femininity.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. Well, when it first was happening, I was like, we were so excited and it was amazing. And
of course, there's
know,
that feeling of like,
oh my God.
This
is crazy. And so it was dominantly like, wow, this is so cool. We're traveling the world together. And we're also like a two piece. Like we would play these massive shows.
Yeah. And nobody sounded
bass.
Like y'all.
Yeah. The Harmony's bass is like, you know, in the fucking out there and my guitar. And we're screaming these harmonies. And it was like, I had chills every night. It was like we were in heaven, you know? We're like, and we're singing these songs. And I'm standing next.
I just got chills for the viewer.
That's cool. And I'm standing next to this person who's like, you know, encouraging me to write about like, go to the edge.
Yeah.
And that's all I want in this life is to get more close to the edge. That's what it's about. And I mean that in a way, not of like, life in the fast lane. I mean, I mean
like
the edge of
like
what's
go,
scary.
Go,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like
go
be brave.
Unknown,
yeah.
Like.
And so I felt like this was really cool. And then really where things kind of shifted for us was we moved to the East Coast. We moved to Philly right when I turned 18 and, which was funny cause we were both from here and we wanted to go to Philly, but it was,
why Philly?
Well, we were really in
the scene.
I was really into Radiator Hospital. The band and Harmony was like really into Alex G.
Yeah.
And we
the Philly scene.
So then we started like playing with them.
Yeah.
And we made our record in like, you know, there was this band Swearin' that like Allison Crutchfield was in. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
did you guys know Lucy at the time? I feel like she must have been
crashed
in
with her. She was living in, was she in North Carolina or something?
I don't know.
We crashed with her one night on tour. Like
okay,
we tweeted
cute.
That we needed a spot. And I had no idea who she was. And we were like exhausted. Like we just played a show.
Yeah.
You know, we got our sleeping bags. We're like,
I can't believe you guys toured like
that. And she's like, yeah, I make music too. And I was like, oh, cool. Like normal, like, you know, 1 a.m. convo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bed now. Like, so nice to meet you. You're so nice. Thanks for letting us crash in your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I like, but I didn't know her. And then I like discovered her music like a couple years later.
Oh my God.
And now,
I love that
The world
story.
Is so small.
Isn't that funny?
The world is so small.
But, this is such a cutie.
But yeah, so we moved to Philly, and that's when, yeah, we were touring a bunch with like East Coast bands. And then Harmony was loving Philly, and I was kind of having a hard time acclimating. And that's when I was like really, you know, thinking, I really like girls and I want to date girls and I don't know how, and I'm confused. And I was like confused and moved to New York, and Harmony stayed in Philly. And so I was writing songs in New York and Harmony's writing songs in Philly, which changed our dynamic a lot, because we would just meet up and write.
Right.
And that's when I think that was the first real turning point in our relationship, where she made a choice for herself and I made a choice for myself, and it affected our music. So I was sending her songs that I was writing in New York. She was sending me songs that she'd write in Philly. She'd take the bus up and we'd meet up and play on some stuff. But we really were kind of starting to kind of sonically drift a little bit.
What year? Like how?
This was around 2016. So that record was a turning point, where it was our first album where Harmony songs were Harmony songs and Cleo songs were Cleo songs.
You can
songs.
Hear it in that record for sure.
I was actually got stoned the other night, and me and my girlfriend Allie is like, she loves Girlpool. Like, it's so cute. But like, sweet. She knows all, because when she was first like crushing on me or whatever, she got so into the band. And she like listened to all of our stuff. Anyway, my point is
cute. It's really quite sweet.
Well, she sees me.
Yeah.
Because that's nice. She listens to my songs that I like that you can see it is a song that is on Before the World Was Big, which is our first record. And it's about, it's like my first like song about a girl. And it's Walk Up to the Front Door, Cold Sweat and Shaky. I'm Here Just to Talk. Is It Pouring Out My Body, My Nervous Aching? I Like That You Can See It. So I Like That You Can See It was kind of the thesis of the song, which was like, I like that you can see my upset, my feeling for you or whatever.
Yeah.
And but I didn't know how to, I like that you can see it, but I don't know how to say it. You know, but at least you can see it or something. But that was my first song that I wrote that was about that kind of a feeling. Anyway, this is a detour.
Great detour.
Yeah, that's a great detour. Also, that's a very queer experience. I feel like the unspoken is such a like part queer of the canon. Experience.
Well, that's all you have.
Are you going to make me say it?
Oh, yeah.
Or like, you can just tell, right? Like, well, that's been, you can tell.
It's funny because that's an experience that I don't have anymore, really.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And, it was really hard and annoying.
Think since transitioning or since like growing up and being out.
Good point.
And,
I mean, it good point. I haven't been grown up, and I never identified as gay. Like I would just say it, but
I was
like,
I was going to say like, what words did
I was so confused. I mean, so I moved to New York and I started dating this person, and then that was my first girlfriend. But you know, so that's when I was kind of feeling out my life outside of Girlpool for the first time.
Yeah.
And
why do we always need to go to New York to be gay? Like, why do we just need
Well, I feel like we're from here. And so here it's the girls I knew here, I went to high school with, and that's just, it's deep. It's like, that's
it
like.
It felt too much like they.
It's just too
saw
much.
Saw me before, so they, I have to like start over.
It just felt, I think, like too much to explain or something.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school? We can cut this out.
I went to New Roads.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm not from here, but I went to USC and all my friends were like LA private school kids.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm familiar.
You know New Roads, yeah.
I knew a couple New Roads, Wildwood, Crossroads.
Yeah, that was my, that street.
Crossover, yeah.
Wait, where'd you go to high school?
I'm East Side. I went to LaSalle, so it's like Pasadena.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. And then where'd you
grow? I'm Chicago.
Chicago, cool, yeah.
Yeah, the northern suburbs.
Nice.
Yeah. But I came out here to go to college.
Right,
so we're like more of a college band, really, than an LA band.
Yeah.
I would say
that's so cool. I wanted to go to music school so bad.
It was like, fine.
I mean, we met each other. We met
I wanted
each
to
other.
Go to Berkeley.
Yeah, we met each other. That was the most important thing. I was gonna go to Berkeley, and then I said last minute that I was gonna go to USC, and now look where I am. making millions.
My dad loves this story because when I like sat down my parents when I was like 17 or whatever, and I was like, I want to take a year off. You know, I was like, they had some natural apprehension. They were like, what are you going to do? Whatever.
Right.
And I was like, dad, like, I don't want to just go to school and learn how to drink out of a red cup. He always would tell his friends that, like after Girlpool started like kind of getting some success and like,
that's
good write ups. We'd be at dinner or something. He's like, Avery sat down. He was so proud that I said that. It's like so funny.
Honestly, it is very cool. Were you partying a lot in the early years of Girlpool? Like, what was your approach to that type of, to the red cups?
Wait, I need to hear the rest.
It's a thousand threads.
We'll circle back. Well, with the drug stuff, my mom sat me down. My mom used to be in the music business. She worked for a record label in the 80s.
Okay.
And
so they were doing
crazy drugs.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
So she sat me down and I didn't ever really do drugs ever in high school. Like I would like party a little bit, but not really. Anyway, she sat me down like right when like I got signed and kind of started. And she was like, and I remember this on my bed, she sat down. She was like, drugs will be everywhere. and she was like, it will. And she's right. I was 17. We'd go to a show, a headline sold out thing. And it's like the promoter's like, what drugs do you want?
Whoa. Holy fucking shit.
And I'm like, under eight, like fully underage. I was like all this kind of shit.
Did that ever happen to us?
What drugs do you want?
No. It was only alcohol.
No, they're like, we couldn't buy your. This happened a year ago. Sorry guys, we couldn't buy your rider, but do you guys want some alcohol?
Yeah, all of us being.
No, dude, no, bring the popcorn. Drinks. We are hungry.
Yeah, I want snacks.
Were you guys underage when you were touring?
No.
Well, I mean, I play shows, but not underage.
Okay.
No. Not touring, no.
Because that me and Harmony would like get to our show and they'd put X's on our hands. Yeah. And then we're on. Stage and
that's pretty rad.
It was funny.
Yeah,
that is true.
So you just like
she said, kind drugs of are everywhere.
You were able to avoid.
Yeah, we never really got. I mean, Harmony and I didn't have any other band members, so like we had to be so sharp on stage.
Yeah,
and if we fucked up,
thank God.
Stuff like if I couldn't play straight,
you're
like,
gonna
we'd
fucking
sound
hear
like
it.
Ass.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like, great about that though. It's like you could still be someone who.
Doesn't
drank
care about
and
that.
Did
yeah.
shit,
yeah,
but you
no.
just cared.
Yeah, we
that's,
cared.
That
yeah.
was always like I think why we always like gelled so much together. Is like we just were really serious about like
yeah we were taking it
this,
real.
I want to be a professional musician.
Yeah, type A, like type butt, but
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, yeah. And also it's
type
like
butt for
when you have
can.
A friend who you're like kind of that you like share a dream with.
Yeah.
It's like, that's better than any drug. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
funny.
No, I mean,
in high school, all the people I used to play with, we did drugs, but that's obvious from how I sound.
I mean,
now.
We had some wild nights, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to say
do.
We weren't ever doing it.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
This is what I imagine your guys' partying to be from social media is like a table full of like oysters and like really good like
that sounds
bread.
That's
cool.
That's
what I feel like you guys are up to.
Deluxe.
I feel like that was
later in life.
Yeah.
It turns from
post
Edward
the smell,
40
yeah.
hands.
I think that's an amazing way. I think it's like investing
oysters.
In like luxurious meals.
I mean, yeah.
That's what life's about.
Deluxe. Oh my God.
100%.
You so
right.
today?
Deluxe.
Deluxe.
It's amazing.
Take that word, folks.
Yeah.
Deluxe. Let it change your life.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp,
not
in.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently, and
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like
the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend of ours who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date, and it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gayotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gayotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gayotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wait, I want to go back.
Okay,
all right, so we're in 2017.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay, so so then we toured that record, and that's when I started transitioning, I think, in 2017.
How did you, like, did you always know, or did you just, like...
It's funny, I mean...
It's the both and kind of thing?
Yeah, it was like, when I was younger, it was like, I was just super embodied and comfortable in being, like, more masculine or whatever, but then I explored femininity, and that's when Girlpool started, which also is just, like, hilarious and so extreme in my life story that, like, and also just so confrontational in this, like juicy way of like, wow, like the name of the band, like it was all like intense feeling, but I mean, I really just kind of, I got a lot of that kind of clarity through like intimate relationships. Like I started dating more people and kind of like got clarity, getting more in my body by being involved with people. I was dating people that, you know, I would open up about certain feelings that I had or whatever. And I had this one relationship in particular that, and I'm still really close with her today, but she introduced the idea of transness and I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And at this was, it feels silly because it's not that long ago.
It was still early
maybe
days.
Maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't know anybody.
So much has fucking happened, and I know in the last a lot 10 of, years with like that. It's
growing
insane.
Up in my school. Know, I think I only in high school there was one person.
I know people
who was
now.
Trans?
Yes,
I know well, people now who
guy.
Like for Chris. Them, you are like a North Star for them.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
People that have seen your transition, and like you were somebody who trailblazed like for those people, and where they had that feeling of like, oh, that's.
Possible.
What I that's like something that I want to do.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know that, but I just want to make sure that
thank you.
Do.
There's I was pretty confused about how I was going to navigate it because our songs were so vocally focused.
Yeah.
And so when I told Harmony that I was going to start this hormone therapy, by the way, this is like it was like I was like I'm going to try this I'm going to take this thing. I think this is kind of going to be cool for me, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
She was like, hell yeah. Like, you should definitely do that. And I was like, it's going to affect our music.
Yeah.
You know? And I was scared about it. And she was like, we'll work it out. Like, who cares? So, you know, then we had these big tours booked, you know, overseas and whatever. And my voice was shot. It was like those first few months on it. And
there's a wonky period, right?
Big time.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And didn't have any example. I didn't know any trans masculine singers.
Yeah.
And I was singing and I would, you know, I want to reach that note, this note.
And it would different just be like, note would come out.
Totally.
That's what happens to my partner now.
Like, oh, really?
They're saying, like, it's interesting because their voice, like, they can sing, but they had to retrain themselves, like, what it feels like inside to sing a certain note.
Mm. Totally.
Like, you have to completely relearn.
100%.
That's so interesting.
Like, this, I obviously don't know. I just want
voice
what
box.
The
science.
Yeah, what the science is actually.
I think it's just so much, it's like your register is just traveling.
It's just like,
so
whoa,
much.
It's like, to me, I'm just like, but why?
Well, like also too, it reminded me of like, I mean, once we would play and I couldn't sing and it was like embarrassing on stage and like
hard, whatever,
but everyone was really like supportive and would clap still. And sometimes I would just I would like back away from the mic and let Harmony just sing it kind of alone.
Yeah.
That shifted our sound so much because our early records, our voices intertwined
so
in such
always.
A cool way.
Yeah.
And looking back on those, for a long time, it was difficult for me to listen to our early stuff. I love listening to it now.
That's
it
so cool.
Sure, it's
brings me
trippy.
So much, like just love, and it's so fun.
Yeah.
But that was a big shift for us. And then my voice started settling, and then I finally got to a place where I was like I think where I was with our last record was how I was when we started the band with my old voice.
Mm.
Like I had been singing for like, I don't know, 3 years maybe or 2 years when Girlpool started.
Okay.
And then by the time we were doing our last record, it was like, oh, I feel like I'm like just getting pretty comfortable
singing,
with my voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many years on T, like, was that then?
I mean, I could make it work. Like,
yeah.
I could make it work probably like a year and a half in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like making it work, but it sounded, I was still like super like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
And I had moments of like, what am I doing? But my experience as a whole was so positive that it was like, that was dominating.
We'll deal with it.
Yeah. So, but that the trans piece is here, and then Harmony and I's musicality and chemistry musically is another thing that I think we were stepping into, you know, our 20s, and the pandemic happened and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to make this last record, which really required so much effort on both parts to just make it make enough sense.
Yeah.
In
for
terms
her
of
songs
how different, yeah.
And my songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hard.
Mm. Yeah.
And I love her songs.
Yeah.
And she loves my songs. But we were kind of going for really different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Harmony was really starting to get into like the hyper pop stuff.
Totally.
I was like really into like, you know, earthy music, mm-hmm. and like, you know, all my songs were written on guitar.
Yeah,
and I was like looking to explore my new voice in a way of like, whatever. And then I was like, well, I can try a little, you know, I wanted to try some pop stuff, but it really wasn't like hitting for me gutturally in the same way where like I felt really moved by like when I'm just like pulling from a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was
like heavier stuff kind of for you? Like,
I guess, or really like, I'm trying to think if heavy, I guess really more just like immediate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediate,
yeah, yeah.
Not
like
not production focused. Like that last record for me was a really, really good learning experience, because I think too, it's like you start as a kid in your room and you're writing these songs just because you have to, and it's like just because you're like, this is, I'm having a rough day and yeah. I'm either going to go on Facebook right now or I'm going to write a song.
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and so you're writing a song and then you put it on like Bandcamp or whatever. And it's all about the song. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe you pop off a bit and you get some hype and you're touring and blah, blah, blah. And then Mr. Producer throws you into the room and is like, you'd sound really good if we threw this on. And then we're going to throw a little bit of this on. And you're like, cool, like this sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're listening to this produced song of, you know, you sound like your heroes and and it's in intoxicating and you're in this beautiful studio and there's money on the there's money's in the mix now and and your ego's getting a little and you're falling in love with this is my new life and whatever. And then you get out of the studio and you listen back to the songs and you're thinking it sounds cool, but sometimes the soul and the initial pull and spirit of that song
can be beaten out of it.
There's too much makeup on.
Yeah.
And you're looking for that thing that really moved you or something. And I think that with Girl Pool, it was such a, it was such an interesting experience because Harmony and I, you listen to our first EP, you listen to our first record or something, it's literally like plug in the instruments, press record, done.
Totally.
Yeah. Nothing else on it. And that's the stuff that when I go back and listen to our stuff, that's the stuff that really gets me going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And it's just been a journey, I think, to at such a young age to have access to studios, producers, stuff like this, to really be like, okay, cool. I can have access. There are these things that I have access to, but what do I really want to harness?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so grateful for Girl Pool because I got to try a lot of different methods and have met so many people and learned about different ways to do stuff that now I'm in a point in my career where, wow, okay, what do I want my voice to sound like?
Yeah.
How much tune do I want on my voice? I might not want any. How bad do I want I want this guitar to be recorded on my fucking phone?
Yeah.
And then the drums are going to run through this thing. And am I going to make the record in my room?
Dude, I deal with that a lot. It's like, there's something about a fucking iPhone voice memo.
Well, that is just real.
Why does it sound so good?
The funny thing is like you.
So
you,
good.
I think a lot of people think that you make music with your eyes, but you actually make music with your ears.
Say a little bit more about that.
I'm going to.
Genius.
Okay. So people, this is just to say that like when you're in a studio, right, you're surrounded by a bunch of equipment that costs tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of fucking dollars. You have crazy vintage. Well, you know what I mean though.
Yeah.
But like we've been in studios like that this is such expensive shit that we're like running our stuff through.
Yeah, you got the runner. It's gonna get you a nice sandwich.
There's cookies.
You get some bubble tea.
You know?
Yeah, the first thing we did, there was like infinite cookies and strawberry water.
It actually makes me really sleepy. It puts my soul to sleep. The cookie smell? In the studio like that.
Your parents come out. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah, people, they're
we're so proud.
They're wigging. Yeah. And then, you have, you know, what fucking... these compressors are, Fleetwood Mac is this. And you're whoa, cool.
Where's all the cocaine?
And the drugs are everywhere. But I feel like it is just an experience of just like, okay, you can do all that and have all that. But ultimately, I'm leaving the studio. I'm putting in a pair of headphones from the Apple company.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the song. It's like, but what matters is, how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fucking matter how much money you spend or how good something sounds if it makes you feel something.
Or
it just really doesn't matter.
Or how expensive a producer is.
It doesn't mean anything.
But when you're young and you're a buzz band.
Totally.
And producers are like, we're going to make something cool together or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool. This is just the next part. This is the next level.
Absolutely.
I guess I'm rising.
It's the logical next step in the process. But so you're told.
Yes. And really what needs to be protected with your life is the heartbeat of your music.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely. Literally it's a living entity that can get shut. It can die. It can die when there's all these fumes and shit coming in that are like foreign and there's like, you know, this, you know, reverb chamber thing that's gonna, we got to get the vocal again and then this, and it's a delicate thing.
I really struggle with that. I think one of the things that we always talked about in like the beginning of our band was it was just really nice to And maybe it was because of our identities a little bit. Like, it was cool to work with other, like, queer people of, like, marginalized gender identities, because there was a sense that we all really respected each other as artists, and we respected our, like, artistic sensibilities.
Well, we were fine being intimate with each other in a way that's, like, you know who are mainly producers generally?
Dudes.
Cis dudes.
Yeah. And, like I really liked y'all's taste.
Yeah.
And I trusted you, but I also felt like I could connect to my own instincts and I could share them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I always did that in the most healthy way, like, in the very beginning. But
I mean, like, there's a feeling of, like, it's okay if I'm kind of ignorant around this person. I'm not going to be self-conscious.
Yeah.
Like, I would still... I think I know what I'm doing to a certain extent now, but, like, yeah, if I'm not, I feel the most comfortable with y'all.
Yeah.
Because, like.
But even with us, like, it's like.
You know what? Yeah.
I still would be kind of nervous to, like, write a verse in front of you guys. Or I know that you don't always like if you're, like, trying to, like, find
sometimes
the right
you don't
want to
make mistakes
pattern.
In front of people.
Yeah,
and
you don't want to put the MIDI note in the wrong
place.
Yeah,
sometimes you just need time for yourself, like, to figure something out.
Even when it comes to, I mean, even when it comes to solo projects and stuff, I never felt like. I felt really daunted by having a solo project. I was so used to bouncing everything off of Harmony.
Okay.
And Harmony had kind of some solo music cooking with herself, but she also felt we developed our songwriting, like, muscles with each other.
In tandem,
So kind of this codependent thing where, you know, she'd send me stuff. And if I was like, this is cool, but if I wasn't like, let's use this for a girl pool song or something, but I was like, this is cool, it was like, I know she would feel kind of like, why can't we use it for a girl pool song? Or if I have sent her a song and I'm like, and she's like, this is cool. And I'm like, well, she's not super stoked on it. So it's probably, we're probably not going to use it for a girl pool song or something. And I think we kind of were measuring how good our songs were if they were then selected by either of us to be a girl pool song. A lot of urgency came up when the band split up because I was like feeling really out in the ether. But I started, I got a job, my first job outside of music.
Oh my God, cool.
Which was, like, really.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I like group facilitate for teenagers.
Wait, Megan was telling us about this a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Megan and I go way back.
That's so cool. Wild. We
Megan,
love her. She's
I used
best.
To live at the Silent Barn in New York. Do you guys know that DIY spot? That
I'm familiar with
I know the name, but I don't know.
So Megan would work door there and lived at the Silent Barn too. So we were roommates. We were like across the hall from each other in this crazy. It was fucking, it'd be loud, like till 4 a.m.
I'm sure.
Oh, it would be super loud. There'd be shows on it.
For people who are listening, this is our new manager, Megan, who is working with Heather, who's been our manager from the jump. So, and Megan. And
Megan used to tour manage Girlpool.
I didn't know that until this week.
And sell our merch.
Yeah.
What a trip.
We were roommates, so funny that you guys are, it's such a small world. But
life is small.
Dude, thank you for telling us that. I feel like it was like story time. This has been one of those.
This was, we were
well
behaved.
It was a delight for me because I felt like we just got to sit back and listen to the tale.
I was so excited when you guys asked me to do this because I feel like we
have
so much.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have so much we can.
Yeah, these are the best episodes where it's like, actually, we need to do 40 more.
No, I know.
I want to go to like a nice meal.
I want to try and. Are we like out of time?
This is going to come out before the Greek.
Oh, cool.
So. We still haven't
tickets.
Sold out the one show.
Going
the show's
going to
sell out, but if you want to come,
if you want to be part of history,
sweet dudes music, he's going to be playing with us.
That show's going to sell out.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Crazy.
The amount of tickets that are left.
That's two.
You have the chance to be part of history by going to a website.
A website, but if you want to come, if you want to come, listen to the sweet tunes.
Tell us the names
talking about
of some
this
of the
whole
songs
time.
You're gonna play.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah, of course. You don't have to.
Why would you not be able to do that?
I don't know. I'm like so confused what I can do and not do. I'm playing with my band, my drummer who was in Girlpool with me,
and
two awesome other musicians. I'm really excited. Thank you guys for having
me.
We're so excited for the show. Go to lagreektheater.com and check
for
out
tickets. And
get your tickets.
Click
but
on
there
the
not
date,
many
October
left.
11th.
Yeah, the 12th is sold out, but the 11th, there's only a good handful left.
Oh my God.
There's a healthy
it's becoming like spooky time. I'm so excited.
It's going to be like cold probably in a cool, like it's going to be cozy.
Are you actually feeling like purely excited?
I'm feeling I'm feeling nervous for like the technical aspects to come together. Yeah, I'm not there. But I'm never really nervous about like.
That's what I'm hoping.
We're doing a lot of special shit, or like we're doing some old shit and doing some new shit, and it's like I need us to like organize everything and be prepared.
I think we're on the.
Do you guys have a lot of rehearsals before?
Yeah, we have a decent amount.
We're like rehearsal freaks. Like we like,
but we're doing some other shows in New York, and then we get back.
We play MSG with.
Boy Genius.
We're doing GMA. Are we allowed to say that?
We're doing Good Morning
America.
GMA. Oh, that's cool.
I think it's like funny. And then we're doing All Things Go in DC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Lana for
so
an hour.
We read somebody's review and then we review.
Talk what about were you going to say? She asked you.
Oh, yeah. What songs are you playing?
Yeah.
Oh,
say one song. Say one song.
Okay. My first song is called Sun Kiss.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
We're just gonna react to song
Sun
titles.
Kiss, parentheses. Fuck me.
Fuck me.
Yeah, you can add that. I will take a writing credit, but you can add that. All right, let's read this review.
All right, so Julianne Schumann.
Allie, your voice is giving sexy now.
Oh, I haven't talked in a minute. I have a clear throat. Okay, so she's doing
such a good job listening.
Yeah.
Julianne Schumann gave a 5-star review called "Wah Wah Wee Wah," and it says
Borat.
Getting the reference.
It's hey, going through the car wash, and I think I sent in the same review like 5 times because I don't know how this works.
Wait,
our fans are guys.
I think
let's
read this
get
one.
It together. Okay.
Anyway, hey, the chaos, the tangents, the kissing in the hands. I'm here for it, baby. Also,
the
I keep
kissing the hands.
I don't know what you're talking about, girl.
Also, I guess we've kissed.
I keep calling all my friends baby this week, and I'm blaming Josette. Bye.
Dude, when did I start doing that?
Baby? I don't know.
Do you call your friends baby now?
I definitely do it.
You use baby as like I'd an be willing as like to a. It's just baby. Like, yeah, it's just a little, it's a tag.
It's a tag.
You'll just be like, I don't know what I'm talking about, baby. You're like doing that kind of stuff. It's cute.
I make everybody feel close to me, and then I manipulate them.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's also my.
Your little arm in there. That's very cute.
That's chill. I don't quite understand all the kissing.
I like that review.
We suggested that people say wah wah wee wah if they listened to the full. I'm remembering something.
Okay, I think this is what's happened here.
Receiving a channel.
She was listening to an episode
in which we gave the directive.
I know, but I think we have since completely forgotten everything that happened.
I definitely don't remember wah wah wee wah.
She said something of like, thinking, if you listen to this full episode, leave a review and call it wah wah wee wah.
Did she actually leave the review 5 times?
No, or, just that one. So
okay. I'm sorry that Apple reviews is hard, but you know what would be helpful if you reviewed it a few more times. Make us feel even bigger.
Yeah, get the number.
Big podcast, big review.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the next review you could title it Big Podcast,
Big
Review.
And then I want one letter as each review. So we'll read it as long form.
That's good.
This is a good directive.
Yeah, start leaving us reviews in like riddles.
In riddles. Mm. Riddle me this.
Thank you so much for coming on, Avery.
Thank you so much for having
me.
Yeah,
we have the last part and you'll pick up what Katie's throwing down right now.
Love you all and I love you, Katie.
Thank you for being here with us.
About to close your eyes.
A true delight and your radio voice had a calming effect on the entire room, which was really a rare occurrence for our vibe, so thank you.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love all of you, and I love you, Naomi.
There's something wrong with me, because what I was going to interrupt you and say, the radio voice made me jerz my pants.
Jerz.
It's wonderful.
Jerzing
from one
Jew
to the next. Good times. Ah, I love you guys.
Next.
And
to the next.
I love you, Josette, you Jewish scoundrel.
Thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun. I'm really excited for our show.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then you have to say.
Oh, I love you all.
No, you have to say you love yourself.
I love myself.
No.
You say I love you.
Say your name.
Oh, I love you, Avery.
Yeah.
Gaotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Gaotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanovskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Gaotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New New episodes drop on hump day, Wednesday. One of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.